A very good evening to you. This is Gospel for You. Our theme is Your Word is Truth, and it is taken from John chapter 17, verse 17, where Jesus Christ, Son of God, has been praying to his Father God, particularly about his disciples. And in verse 17, it says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." There are other places in the Bible, particularly in John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus identifies with God, identifies with the word, identifies with the truth. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." So we also see God, through Jesus Christ, becoming flesh, and as creator, truth, the word becoming operational. And it is this word, listeners, that we are coming to you today to proclaim the word of the Lord. Acts 8, verse 25. "After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages." So the disciples believed in God's word, and we, as God's people, believe in the word that is contained in the Bible, particularly the word that is that which Jesus Christ has spoken himself. In that core scripture, "Sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth." But we see God being so, so much more than that. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus Christ, Son of God, is the channel by which each of us can come to know God. Christ Jesus, we are proclaiming on this program as Lord and as Saviour. Though I know many people don't understand or realise, in this particular program, Gospel for You, which began life on the 12th of April 2021, and our heart is to reach language groups around the world, telling people of the good news. The good news of salvation, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And that is only possible through Jesus Christ. In this program, we try and present that gospel in as many ways as possible, not least by your gospel, and that's John 3:16, in different languages, so that we can start at least that big job of being able to reach language groups around the world. Your gospel today in Dutch, Hungarian and Icelandic. We also hear a testimony from Crispo Water, a worship musician, and he was in conversation with Dudley Anderson. And then we hear one of the Kingdom Comes from this year, back in May. And this is Fergus Buchan, Pastor Fergus Buchan from Messiah Ministries International London, actually. And he's speaking about the only way. This is Gospel for You. Let's get into your gospel in Dutch.
Want zo lief had God de wereld, dat hij zijn enig geboren zoon gegeven heeft, opdat ieder die in hem gelooft niet verloren gaat, maar het eeuwige leven hebben.
Hello, I'm Dudley Anderson. Welcome to The Reality. Today in The Reality, we meet singer-songwriter Chris Bowater. Chris Bowater has often been called the father of modern praise and worship. Coming to fore during the charismatic movement of the late 1970s and 1980s, he made an impact with songs like "Reign in Me," "Here I Am Wholly Available," and "Faithful God." His songs have been translated into many languages and have impacted people's lives around the world. Chris has trained and mentored generations of worship leaders and is co-founder of the Worship Academy International. Up until recently, he was senior pastor of New Life Church Ministries in Sleaford, England. In his own words, life has been a mix of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
So in the midst of the hardest times, we can worship. The scripture says, I will give you songs in the night, times of our experiences. God can give you a song that defies the experience.
The God of love and peace has been at Chris's side through all those bad and ugly times, as well as the good times of his life. Chris discovered for himself that the reality of the difficulties of life pale into insignificant shadows in the light of God's love and grace. It's out of these experiences that Chris Bowater has discovered the strength, the assurance and joy of resting in the arms of his faithful God. It's out of these experiences that Chris Bowater has written many of his heartfelt worship songs, and he's mentored others to face the battles of life, not by their own power and might, but by the might of God's Holy Spirit, praising God in every circumstance. Today's The Reality was recorded in front of a live audience. But we start out our conversation today by talking to Chris Bowater, finding out about the good times. How did he come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Saviour?
My dad was a pastor, so I was brought up in a Christian family. But just because you're born in a greenhouse doesn't make you a tomato. So it didn't make me a Christian simply because I was in a Christian family. And at the age of 7, at the Birmingham Town Hall, at a Youth for Christ event, I made a very, very real commitment. In fact, it was quite a story because I was in the second tier in the gallery at the Birmingham Town Hall, and Frank Farley was the preacher, and he made the appeal to come out to the front, and I wanted to come out to the front. My dad was more anxious about getting back to the car park to avoid the inevitable traffic in Birmingham, and he thought I was wanting to go to the toilet, and he said, "It's too late." Now, that was a devastating little phrase when a little boy wanted to give his life to Jesus, and I was told it was too late. And we were rushed out of the Birmingham Town Hall in order to get back to the car park. But my mother was a little bit more discerning. And literally in the middle of New Street, literally the middle of it, holding up traffic, my mom said to me, "You wanted to give your life to Jesus tonight, didn't you, Christopher?" Mother always gave me the full title. And I said, "Yes, I did, but Dad said it's too late." And she said, "It's not too late. You can do it now." And a policeman came up. "Excuse me, what are you doing?" And my mom said, "It's okay, officer. My son is just giving his life to Jesus." And he said, "Oh, that's lovely. Could you do it on the pavement, please?" So I was taken to the pavement, and my mom prayed with me, and that was the beginning of my Christian journey. But from a very early days, I was passionate about music. And I only had one ambition as a child, which nobody really fully understood, but I wanted to go to the Royal College of Music. And I didn't actually start formal piano lessons until I was 11, which for classical music is very, very late. That in itself is a miraculous story of a lady that heard me play by ear, gave me lessons for free, right the way through to getting me into the Royal College. And so I went to the Royal College, and I went into teaching. In teaching, I moved to Lincoln, and at the middle 70s, there was such an outpouring of revival in Lincoln in the mid-70s. God started giving me songs, literally morning, noon, and night. And I was a school teacher by then, but I was still writing songs all the time. And those songs became part of the church life. And Lincoln started being released all around the world. That's how it all started. It wasn't a career plan. It wasn't something I said, when I'm big, I want to be a worship leader. I just happened to be caught up in a move of God.
You know, I can say from my experience in life that God often drops things into my lap. And listening to you, Chris, it sounds like that's your experience in life. How do you hear from God? How do you know, that you've chosen the right option or a life choice?
I often say that in the songs, I didn't write them. I just caught them. And as an avid cricketer, I know you've got to be in the right position to catch. And you've got to be in the right position to catch what heaven wants to put out. And I'm saying this all the time to young, aspiring worship ministries or whatever. If you are in the right position, heaven will download to you the things that you need to fulfill that call on your life. And so I honestly don't think God wants it to be difficult to hear him. I remember somebody asking a young man who happened to be his son in their church in New Zealand. They used to, when bringing people into membership, would say, "What does the voice of God sound like to you?" Interesting question. And the son was being interviewed to be brought into membership by his dad. And his dad said, "Son, what does the voice of God sound like to you?" And he smiled. He said, "Daddy sounds just like you." And that's, if you like, the closeness and the intimacy. Because I don't think God ever wants to shout at us. I think he wants us to be so listening. All he has to do is gently whisper.
So you say be in the right position. You're saying be in the right state of mind.
The right attitude of heart.
Yes,
it's all about heart, isn't it?
All about heart.
If we can speak about worship for a minute, Chris. Yeah. It's all about heart. The scripture says we should worship God in spirit and in truth. And, you know, many people can worship in spirit. They have spiritual experience when they worship. And the spiritual experience can be emotive, and so they have this emotional worship. But what about the truth element? How does that connect to the heart?
That's a very good question, Dudley, because I think today we probably live in a society that is constantly looking for a new experience. Worship is valid whether we have an experience or not. And this is the truth. God deserves and God desires our worship. Regardless of my feeling, it's got nothing to do with how I feel. So in the midst of the hardest times, and my wife and I, Leslie's here tonight, in the midst of some of the hardest times, which we may talk about, we can worship. In fact, the scripture says, "I will give you songs in the night." That doesn't just mean, you know, when it's dark naturally, but actually in the night times of our experiences, God can give you a song that defies the experience. I don't believe that we can worship the problem away, but we can worship the focus so that God becomes all the focus of our lives in the midst of the challenge. It might be there's somebody here tonight in the midst of a big, big challenge. I call you to worship. Because when you worship, you turn your eyes upon Jesus. You look full in his wonderful face. And then the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
So that's the intimacy of worship. And I've heard it said that praise is exuberance. Praise is declarative of the glory of God. How do you praise God? I can understand becoming intimate in worship through a tough time. But in a difficult situation, how can I praise and be exuberant?
Because it's linked to the earlier question about what is the truth. We can praise God because he is true. We can praise God because he will never he will never defy us. He will never deny us. And true praise and true worship is filled with the knowledge of who he is And so the psalmist will constantly express his delight in the Lord. You are my strength. That's true. You are my joy. That's true. You are my peace. That's true. You are my deliverance. In fact, one of the earliest songs that Moses sang was, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he's thrown into the sea. The Lord, he is my strength. He is my song. He is my deliverance. We fill our worship with who God is. And I think this is a message for today's church, because we have a lot of subjective worship, which is about how I feel. But actually, we need to be filling our worship with who God is. The Bible says, as we behold him, we are changed.
So, we're talking about praise and worship. And if I said that to an average person in the church, they'd think instantly music. Mm. What's the connection with what you've just described and singing and making music to God?
Because praise and worship actually ultimately, Dudley, isn't anything to do with music. Music is the overflow of a lifestyle of worship. We call our ministry lifestyle worship, because who I am is always more important than what I do. And so my lifestyle, what does that mean? My lifestyle is my values, my hopes, my visions, my actions, why I do things, why I don't do things, what I choose to believe. It's handling my finances, it's handling my friendships, it's handling my entertainment and my leisure. Lifestyle. And I want a lifestyle that, as the hymn writer put many, many years ago, way before me, but he said, fill thou my life, O Lord my God, in every part with praise.
Well, speaking of hymns, just there, Chris Bowater, do you consider yourself a hymn writer, a hymnist?
I would hope so. I see myself as a psalmist. If somebody says to you, are you a worship leader, I say, no, I'm a psalmist, because I think there is a difference. I think a worship leader tends to be a song leader these days, whereas a psalmist, biblically, is someone who has, oh golly, this is quite profound and deep and maybe controversial, but I actually believe that a psalmist has a pastoral passion, an evangelistic passion, a prophetic passion, an apostolic passion. All of those gifts that God has given to the church is expressed through this ministry, because you see all of that in David, the psalmist. And I believe in contemporary psalmists.
So, to a young worship leader, perhaps in our audience tonight, what would be your advice in his growth and development as a worship leader, as a psalmist, as you defined?
I think not to be so dominated by style. Style is ultimately divisive. I don't think worship has got anything to do with style. I think it's to do with the sound. Praise him with the sound. I've got a lot of thoughts on sound, which tonight probably isn't the right time, but I think the psalmist was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. Now, I don't think for one moment that's because he was a sweet boy.
On the contrary.
Okay. But I think there was a sweet sound that came from him. And I think the sound that we produce is important. So I would say to young worship leaders and worship psalmists and those who are desiring to minister through worship is study to show yourself approved of your calling. In the same way as we would say to a preacher or a youth leader, get alongside others that can train and develop you and nurture you and encourage you and provoke you and challenge you. Because that way you will grow.
What is the strangest or the funniest event or situation you've had to face? Maybe on stage or with a group of young musicians. I know what musicians are like.
Well, I've had hilarious things with musicians. I remember one grapevine. I don't even know whether you were there, Dudley, but I had a team including some violinists on the team, including a man called Tony. Now, Tony was a former Lancaster bomber, navigator, I think he was. Wow. And but he played the violin. He had a gammy leg, so he always put his leg up on his violin case that was upturned. And he was sitting there, and he loved to play the violin. He was part of the team, and it was a good experience for Tony. And Gerald suddenly, out the blue, said, "Tony, prophesy on the violin." Well, I knew Gerald had just jumped off the cliff. I knew at that moment this wasn't the greatest idea Gerald has ever had. And Gerald has had a lot of great ideas, but this wasn't the greatest. And I could see Tony hyperventilating. And I could see him thinking, what do I do? How do I respond? But very compliant man. And he picks his violin up, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what's going to come out of this instrument? And without a word of exaggeration, he starts playing Twinkle Little Star. I'm thinking, oh, Gerald, you asked him to prophesy, and you prophesy from another planet. So there you are. You got Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
So how did Gerald respond? What was his reaction?
I think he kind of swiftly diverted, as leaders do. So that was funny. Personally, I think the most embarrassing experience was in France. We were doing a tour. We did the Tour de France, but not on bikes, yeah. For all kinds of reasons. And we went to, I forget where it was, somewhere in the north of France, and they were putting on an evening concert in a school. Probably about 400 people were gathering for this event, but we'd set up, everything was done, sound checked, and it was wonderful. And then I had a desperate need for the boys' room. Yeah. But I went to the toilet, and everything was fine, except I could not then open the door to get out. I literally got locked in. And I put my considerable weight behind pushing this door down, but it didn't budge at all. And this is why you take team with you. To cover you on these moments. Yes. And I'm thinking, where's my team? Don't they have a brain cell between them? You know, and I was getting exasperated. And so much so, I stood on the rim of the toilet to look over the top, praying, please, God in heaven, don't let there be somebody in the next cubicle. Otherwise, I would become a feature in tomorrow's morning's newspapers, you know? English ministry doing funny things in toilets. Thankfully, there wasn't anybody, but I was able to look over, but then my foot slipped into the pan. Oh, no. So I ended up with a very, very soggy right leg. I then kind of levered myself up to look above, and the door was open coming into the men's toilet, and on the opposite wall I could see a huge picture photograph of myself looking back at me. It was very surreal. And I could see people walking past my photograph that side and my face this side, and every time they looked my way I went down and tried to not be seen. Eventually somebody on my team decided that I'd been away for far too long and came, and thankfully it was the one person on my team that would know what to do. To take the door off the hinges. So if you go on a team, always go with the team with someone that has a screwdriver in his pocket.
Wonderful.
But there have been times in Chris Bowater's life and his dear wife Leslie that they've endured very trying times.
I've had health issues all my life. I nearly died three times before I was five. Serious issues. I have been in such a state of ill health where I have seen in coma the battle going on over my life. Mm-hmm. I've seen that, I've lived through that, and I've heard heaven speak, "Step back, this man is mine." I've heard that. And yet through it all, The Bible says, my grace is made sufficient for you in weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And my testimony has been that through it all, God has never failed. Even though my doctor says you live 150% life on 40% health, I give God the glory. Mm-hmm. Because I know that every day that I live, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. And a lot of that is in the night time when I didn't sleep. As it happens, my health at this minute is really in a really good place.
Praise God.
And I thank God for that. But I would like to reference the fact that Leslie and I, because you understand when you're going through stuff, you go through it as partners and husband and wife. We've got 5 children. And we had Rachel, who nearly died when she was 12 when I was in Australia. And I had a phone call to say, please come home. Rachel's dying. And that was the worst 4 days of my life, trying to get back to England and trying to get back to the hospital. And we had all around the world people praying for our daughter. And my mom and dad were visiting missionaries in Ecuador at the time. And the Ecuadorians got to know about this. They couldn't speak English, but they could say Rachel before God. I got back to the hospital eventually to be met by the consultant who said, Mr. Boat, I need to speak to you in my office. Which is the worst possible introduction. But he actually said, I'm so sorry I've brought you back. Something has happened to Rachel that we don't understand. But Rachel is going to be fine.
Come on.
And Rachel is now a doctor.
Wow.
And so we've had Rachel's story. And then we had a son, Daniel, who's probably one of Europe's best sound engineers. And I taught him everything I knew. We just had to switch it on. And then, with a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old, my wife had triplets. Just respect for this lady, total. And Mark, Hannah and Sarah came into our lives at 15-minute intervals, and our lives changed dramatically. I went grey like overnight. But the truth was, the Lord at the same time was calling me from teaching into full-time ministry. And this is the issue, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. When God calls, God provides. And God equips and God enables.
Spot on.
And the miracles that we experience. But the middle one of the three, Mark was the oldest. Mark works for Integrity Music now, down in London, artist development. Sarah, who's the youngest, spends her life talking. She's a teacher, but she was born talking because she was the last one born. And she hadn't realized the others had gone. But the middle one was Hannah. And Hannah was born with learning difficulties. And Hannah is now a 36-year-old, but she is a 15-year-old emotionally, intellectually. In all of our ministry, we've seen God do amazing, wonderful, miraculous things. I've seen people getting out of wheelchairs. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen unbelievable miracles just simply in worshiping God. We'd gone home every night to see Hannah. We were told when she was a child she would never work, she would never do anything, she would never have an education. But how many of you know that with God there's never an ever? And Hannah still has learning difficulties. But Hannah has had for 14 years a job in a care home as a carer. And she has just done the most amazing things.
Great.
And I bless God for that. Do I have questions? Oh, yeah. And it's okay to have questions. It really is. God doesn't fall off his throne because you and I have got a question. I've never questioned God from a position of faith. But I've said, God, tell me the story behind this. But actually, there's so many of much of my music that has come out of Hannah.
Faithful God, all-sufficient one, I worship you. Shalom, my peace, my strong deliverer, I lift you up. faithful God. Words by Chris Bowater. Listening to Chris Bowater today, we discover that the reality of life is that Jesus Christ died for us, and in his death and his resurrection, he made a way for us to know the faithfulness of God and God's love. The Bible says God's love endures forever. Every circumstance of life, the good, the bad, and indeed the ugly, is endured by God's grace and his love. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we read, "Cast your anxieties or your cares upon him, because he cares for you." In Philippians chapter 4, verse 67, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds on Christ Jesus." See, we can put our confidence in the Lord, in our difficulties, in our trials, our tribulations, and our anxieties. As Chris Bowater said in his song, "Shalom, my peace, my strong deliverer." Whatever you and I are facing today in life, let's learn from Chris Bowater's story and put our confidence in the peace of God, our strong deliverer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful testimony of Chris Bowater today, and we just bless him in his work and his calling as he serves you. Help us to learn, Lord, that through the good, through the bad, and through the ugly, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to your purpose and love you. So I just want to take a moment now, as I pray with my listener, to cast our cares upon you. We do a bit of care casting as we cast our cares upon Jesus, and I thank you for your deliverance and help through our lives. Faithful God. Amen. You've been listening to The Reality with me, Dudley Anderson. If you'd like to know more about this radio ministry, indeed, support our ministry, we'd greatly appreciate that. This is a listener-supported radio program. Do go off to dudleyanderson.net for more information. From me, Dudley Anderson, as always, keep your eyes on Jesus and walk in the reality as found in Christ.
János 3.16. Mert úgy szerette Isten e világot, hogy az ő egyszülött fiát adta, hogy valaki hiszen ő benne, el ne vesszen, hanem örök élete legyen.
This is Gospel for You, and you've been listening into Your Gospel in Hungarian. Dudley Anderson in conversation with singer-songwriter and musician, worship leader Chris Bowater, and Your Gospel in Dutch. Gospel for You is to get the gospel out in as many ways to language groups around the world. We're starting that within Europe. My name is Rob Rowe, and I'm the director at Gospel for Grampian Radio, based here in Aberdeen. Coming up in just a moment, in fact, is Kingdom Come with Fergus Buchan, who's speaking about the only way. But let's have a quick reminder of our core scripture. Your word is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. From John chapter 17, verse 17.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Kingdom Come, our second series of teachings with me, Jess Priest, and Pastor Fergus Buchan from MMI London. Thank you all so much for tuning in and joining us again tonight. If you missed last week's episode, it was our first episode back of 2022. But don't worry, you can catch it up on Gospel for Grampian website. And the episode was from the Book of Psalm to give us encouragement for what we might encounter this coming year. But tonight, Pastor Fergus is going to be speaking and teaching from the book of John, chapter 14, where the truth in the scriptures offended many, and it's undeniably the only way we're going to get to the Father. So without further ado, over to you, Pastor Fergus.
Well, thank you, Jess. It's good to be back together again. Folks, I can't believe we're cracking on. We're in February now, and wow, we're into this new year. Yeah, last week was great, Jess, because that's where we find our courage, strength, and refuge. All right, that's good. But now I want to just get the playing fields, as I like to say, being an old ex-professional golfer, settled. So we know where we stand with the Word of God, and the truth will set us free. That's what it says, doesn't it, Jess, the Bible? But not everybody likes the truth. It's also knocked me a few times. Don't worry. But, you know, I've learned if it's the truth, I have to accept it. Don't you, Jess? Especially if a godly man or woman comes and says, hey, listen, scripturally, what you're doing, I don't like. Or then you've got to sit down and think, hang on a second. You know, opinions don't count. We know that. The verses and the scriptures count. Now, the playing fields, right? This scripture I'm going to bring just now is, wow, it's so important to all of us. Okay, so important. But before we get going, let's have a word of prayer and we enter it. Father God, we thank you for tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son. But Lord, I thank you, Father God, that Lord, you only spoke the truth and we believe the truth and we believe every single word written in the Bible, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that the writings, the Psalms, the Proverbs, the teachings, the Gospels is there to help us, Father, not to hurt us. It's there to prosper us and look after us. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you for this verse tonight. And I thank you, Father, that I would expound it in a way that would be agreeable to you, not to anybody listening tonight. But, Lord, the verse I'm bringing is undeniable. And thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right, Jess, so what are we going to talk about? Whoa. We're going to talk about John chapter 14, verse 6. Now, this is one of the most basic and important passages in Scripture. Okay, let's read it. Jesus said to him, I'm talking to Thomas. I'm going to go backwards just now, as I normally do, minister, back and forth. But this is the whole crux of your salvation and anybody else's salvation. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Oh, here we go. Now, Jess sometimes calls me Uncle Fergus, which I'm so blessed to be called, because she's a spiritual daughter of mine. Calls me Pastor Fergus mostly, so I'm a pastor. This is Jesus speaking, Jess. Okay, it's in red writing. So this is Jesus speaking. This blows everybody's theology right out of the water. It comes to you and says there's many roads to heaven. Think what I just said. Or many ways to heaven. I'm a good man. I'm a good girl. I tithe to the ministry. I don't swear. I'm not a fornicator. Surely God's got to take. I do good things. Like young Jess here, just as an example. I record Pastor Fergus's recordings, and sometimes I need to go to sleep, but I'm sitting up doing these recordings and getting them edited, and so I'm going to get into heaven because I'm working for this man of God. No, really. I've only been married once. Ah, okay. Well, that's fine. What else can I think of? I'm faithful. Okay. That's not going to get you into heaven. They're not bad things, Jess. I mean, we're called to live a godly life, aren't we? But this is going to get you into heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. You've got to have belief and faith in Jesus Christ, Son of God. It's the only way you're going to get into heaven. I can promise you that. I know that because I know it. How can we know the way to God? Only through who? Jesus. He is the Son of God. Jesus is the way because he is both God and man. He came down to earth, born of a virgin, we know that, became fully God and fully man, and his life lasted 33 years, and his ministry lasted 3. Those 3 years, because he's God, changed the world. You know, the name of Jesus Christ is either beloved and loved and adored or is hated. There's no in-between in this world. So you're telling me I have to believe in Jesus to get to heaven? Yes, because he says so. Not because I say so or Jess says so. No, he says so, Jess. But I can't believe that. Well, I can tell you why. Because he died and rose again. Do you know another God, Jess, that died and rose again? I don't know of another one. All these gods that these religions are serving nowadays, their bones are still in the ground. Jesus Christ's body was never found because he rose. You know, at the beginning of chapter 14, he says this: let your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, but believe also in me. Well, I just told you, he's God and he's Jesus. He's two in one. He's the Trinity. In fact, it's three: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Right, Jess? That's scripture. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Who is he talking about here, Jess? Where are these mansions, Jess? They're in heaven, aren't they? He is going to prepare a place. Not me, not Jess, not some. I've written a book. I've got another book coming out, and maybe who knows? I don't know. But I can't go and prepare a mansion for you there. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven. He's coming back again, isn't he, Jess? And I believe he's... What did some pastor, some guy wrote something this week? I loved it. He's not on his way. He's very close. He's checking in, the check-in counter. That's close. I love it. Anyway, you must be an evangelist like me. That mansion is prepared for you in heaven. He's prepared for you in heaven. You see, I'll come to something just now, a thought that came to me. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Now, let me read that again to you. This is verse 4, chapter 14, verse 4. I'm not going past chapter 6. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said to him, now who's Thomas, Jess? The old doubter. Doubting Thomas, that's where the expression comes from. Unless I see his hands and put my hand in his side, I won't believe it's Jesus Christ. And of course, when the Lord walked through the wall of the upper room, I think Thomas must have had a heart attack. And then Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. I was in discussion with a Muslim guy a couple of months ago, and he says one of the biggest things that he loves the Bible, he believes Jesus is a good man. I said, he wasn't a man, he was God. No. I don't believe in a God that dies. I said, but he did die, but he rose again. Yeah, but he doesn't. My God doesn't die, wherever his God was. What I realized, brothers and sisters, you've got to understand this. And this is the hard part now that I'm coming to, Jess. All roads lead to heaven. And that's your big religions or false religions. I'm not a religious man. Jess knows that. I'm just a follower and believer in Jesus Christ. In fact, I hate religion. It's caused so much trouble in the world. Religion has turned so many people away from Jesus Christ. Man-made rules.
I agree.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, Jesus even says, you follow the traditions of your fathers. And those fathers and those sons, what do? They crucified Jesus. But what I realized, in the ministry, and I've been in ministry for quite a few years now, and I don't know everything, but believe me, I don't, Jess, but I've been around. If a person doesn't believe in the word of God, then what else have you got? You've got to shut up. That's it. Close it. Walk away. I've done it often. It wasn't you, it was your mum, I think, or Natasha. Somebody was with me in the streets of London last year, and this guy started to argue with me. And I said to him, excuse me. I said, do you believe the word of God? He says, not one word. I said, thank you, bye-bye. I walked off. Well, how can I argue with an infidel? How can I argue with an unbeliever so reprobate like that? Now, I know God can touch him. I know that. Okay? If you take this scripture here and don't stand on it and believe it, well, there's only two places you can go. And I spoke to a gentleman this last Saturday with my wife in the street. She came with me. I said, listen, if you die, there's two places you can go to, hey? So he says to me, yes, sir. I said, where? He says, he went like this, heaven. I've got my feet, can't see me, but heaven or down there, hell. I said, right. I said, where do you want to go? He says, heaven. I said, you better pray with me. He says, I will. I'll pray right now. What I mean is, sadly, there's a hell. So what does that mean, Jess? That's where unbelievers go. Yeah. Matthew 7, deny me before man, and I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. So there's a heaven and a hell. Now, sadly, I say it again, sadly, there's a hell. That means not everybody's going to heaven, Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, crikey, that's pretty basic, isn't it? But Jesus says here, he is the only way. He's the only way we can get into heaven. It's like that, we've done so many of these programs now, but that hippie girl that came to Christ and she had that vision. And she stood before the judgment seat, and the pastor came first, and he was told to, went that way, and then an evangelist came that way. And she thought, well, goodness, Jess, what chance have I got? And Peter said, or the Lord said, it wouldn't be Peter, that's just fables. It was the Lord who judged him, who said, why should I let you into heaven? And he said, only because of the blood of Christ. She believed in Jesus Christ, Son of God. And that is one of the biggest deceptions in the world today, Jess. People will want to hear good stories, great opinions, classical orators, beautiful singers, great service. But the name of Jesus is very seldom mentioned. And this scripture, I don't hear mentioned. Okay? And that's the basis of Christianity. That there is what it's all about. Well, you know, Fergus, the road to heaven's a bit too narrow, I would argue. It's very difficult. Well, you know what I say to them? Well, it's wide enough for the whole world. It's only narrow because you love your sin. Jesus is sinless. And he knows we're all sinners. Don't get me wrong. I mean, looking at this one talking here, probably one of the biggest was. Still am. But by his grace and my belief in him, I can get to the Father. I can get into heaven. I am the way, Jess. He says, I'm the truth. Everything that Jesus ever spoke about was true. Remember the woman at the well?
Mm.
Hey, we must preach on that one day. And he sat there and she said, I'm not married. He says, I know, you've had five husbands. And the one you're living with is not your husband. I think she nearly fell into the well. You can't fool that. You can't fool God. And he said, if you drink of the water I can give you, you'll never thirst again. And she did. And she went back to town. And we know this changed the whole town. And they all became believers. He was the way. Wasn't one of the disciples that came back with the food, and because they went looking for food. And he said, I'll just sit here. He knew that woman was coming. But she believed in him. And she got saved. Having five husbands. The one she was living with, a guy that, you know, I don't think she lived with him after that. Because she would have kicked him out and either got married or whatever. So let's just read it again and let's just think about this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Confirmed in Acts chapter 4, verse 12 and 1 Timothy 2:15. Jesus Christ, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Brothers and sisters, stand on this word of God. It's so important because If you wishy-washy, dilly-dally the scriptures around to get somebody saved and it's a false teaching, you are standing before God because his blood or her blood will be on your hands. Rather let them get annoyed with you or argue with you or tell you this is ridiculous, who's Jesus Christ, whatever, but tell them the truth. It's the only way we're going to get into heaven. It's the only way I'm going to get there. What? After 25 years of ministry, crusade, I'm not going to go down any further down the road, or Jess serving Christ and she's been a young girl. You're not going to get into heaven because of that, Jess. You're only going to get in because of Jesus Christ, Son of God, who shed his blood for you. Amen.
Amen.
And believe me, Jess, this has offended a lot of people. A lot of religions in this world. Plenty. Well, I'd rather, I had a saying, and Auntie Jo often remarks on this, Jess. She said, my husband always says, I'd rather offend you into heaven than tickle your ears into hell. That's it, Jess. That's me. Amen. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, I trust that you have sparked something in your spirit. Read that scripture. Go and meditate on it. Understand it. And understand why you say because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray, Jess. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the scripture. And thank you, Father God, for revealing to us that your Son, Jesus Christ, is only the truth and the way to get to you. It's only by him and his blood. Lord, until we meet again next week, I pray favor, blessings, and protection over every listener that's on this station. And I pray a special blessing over our brother in Christ, Rob Rowe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jess.
Thank you.
Till next week.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Fergus, for sharing that with us. And thank you to everyone that tuned in tonight. If any of you have any questions or prayer requests, please send them in to our new prayer email address. And it's mmi.londonprayer@gmail.com. So we'll see you all next week. And don't forget to tune in and join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Until then, God bless.
Pastor Fergus Birkin from Messiah Ministries with an edition of Kingdom Come from May of this year, The Only Way. And we've been finding out in this program, listeners, how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Our core scripture is sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And this is Jesus praying about his disciples to Father God. In John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, the word becomes flesh. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And our heart and our prayer is that you, the listener, will be able to understand this. And that's what we're going to be doing right now, is to pray and to give you, the listener, an opportunity to accept perhaps even Christ as your Lord and Saviour. Father God, Lord God, I pray for our listeners tonight, although I've read out many scriptures in this programme, yet I pray that they will get from what they've heard already and from these prayers a very real sense of the fact of the truth, that your word is truth, of your Son, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to you, Father, except through him. How in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And I pray, Lord, that all of these scriptures will speak to our listeners, those listeners listening in directly on shortwave and medium wave, but also on podcast, and when people listen in again on a Friday to this program on Gospel for Grampian Radio. Amen. And now, listeners, an opportunity for you to accept Christ as your Lord and Saviour. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for everything that I've done, thought, or said which is wrong. And those things that I have not done, the people I have withheld help from, because it was too convenient, because of my own wrong attitudes. I'm sorry for all of these things. Please forgive me. Please help me to repent. Please come into my life by your Spirit to be my Lord and Saviour forever and help me to be the person you want me to be. Amen. Now, if you've said that prayer, you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and in doing so, you have been accepted by God. Christ has made that way to the Father, as is said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Because you've done this, you have the way into the Father. Please start reading the Bible. Please do let us know. That's info@g4g.org.uk. We'll be finishing off now with your gospel in Icelandic and listening into David West singing When I Was But Just a Boy. I'll be back again next week at the same time, God willing. See you again then. God bless.
Jóhannes að Guðspjall 3:16. Því svo elskaði Guð heiminn að hann gaf enka son sinn til þess að hver sem á hann trúir glatist ekki heldur hafi eilíft líf.
When I was but just a boy, I went to church and Sunday school. I listened to the stories that but often played the fool. Then one day I realized how much my soul was lost in sin. I prayed to Jesus there, and then into my heart. You see, one dark day at Calvary, Jesus gave his life for me. He took all my sins away, and now I've been set free. Now Jesus is the greatest friend, a broken heart he's sure to mend. If you come to him right now, he'll stay right to the end. He is the greatest, he is the best. And here's one man I've never met that outshines all the rest. And he's one man I've always wanted to meet. He's the King of Kings, he's the Prince of Peace. And when I get to heaven, I'm gonna fall down at his feet. He's the man I've always wanted to meet. Jesus is the man I've always wanted to meet.